Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Oh my gosh, we are I just got in by the skin of my teeth. Maybe I should say that. Sometimes Blog Talk, I just can't get into the show. And today it doesn't. It's like, sorry. And then I'm like, I don't think so. But I do know if I keep trying that it will work. It will always work. So today's November 14th, 2017. We're already, in the middle of the month, just about. So, wow, time's going by. Next week is Thanksgiving, next Thursday. So that's going to be a busy week, and kids are going to be off from school, so parents are got to get ready for that one. But today's show, I don't know about you guys, but how many of you see this all the time now where it's just people say, oh, I have anxiety today. Oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm really anxious. I don't know why I'm so anxious. And it's one of my kids, my daughter, actually both suffer from it in different ways. But all anxiety is in the simplest form, in the very simplest form of thinking about anxiety, is that it's the fear of the future. And we have so much going on that people don't know at times how they're going to make it. So they start reacting. And it's kind of a tricky thing with anxiety because there's even different kinds of anxiety. Not only is there just the fact that we have it, but there's different kinds. And how do we get tricked? How are the different ways that anxiety kind of tricks us? Because it's behind most of the trouble that people have when they have chronic anxiety. Because there's some that might get it, they're trying out for something, or they're, you know, getting a new job, or they're, you know, in a new relationship and they're excited and happy and also like, oh, you know, because it takes a lot to get in a relationship or to get out of one. Buying a new car, I don't have a car, whatever it is that goes on in our lives. It's just that it's a chronic thing, and we struggle to overcome it. And we get like these really disappointing results or even feel worse over time because we feel like we can't control it. And a lot of times we're fooled by anxiety because people blame themselves for it. But a more accurate way to look at it and a helpful way to understand it, because it is, it's a frustrating problem, is what is it? So I looked up a definition. I wanted to find a definition for anxiety. And it came out, it's amazing that, you know, well, what is anxiety disorder? It's you getting tricked into feeling powerful fear in the absence of any danger. But the danger is real to the person feeling the anxiety, right? But they're saying, well, there's no danger that people seek help for these fears. People recognize they're getting afraid when they're not in danger. If they were actually in danger, if we were, they would just protect yourself as best you can and be better off for it. But with anxiety, people get afraid when they're not in danger. Their struggle to protect themselves from fear leads them down a path of just greater anxiety and increasing trouble. And that's the trick of anxiety. You know, when we would say it's like fear on steroids, but it's very real. It's very scary to the person feeling it. But how does this happen? That you feel fear in the absence of danger. And they call it the anxiety trick at work. So, of course, I'm going to ask Christ and say, hey, how could this be that we are now giving fear so much clout? Not a little clout, a lot of clout to take us over, even when no one else can see it. We're the only ones can see it. We're the only ones who can feel it. We're the only ones walking around with it. If you tell people, and unless you tell people, nobody knows. And now the different kinds of anxieties. I'll get to Christ in a minute. I was shocked that there was, and I heard of each individual one, but what each one actually does. And I've realized I've used these terms, not realizing how much of the fabric of our lives has gotten to a point where anxiety is a normal part of conversation, life. Just like when people say, I get claustrophobic in elevators, I'll walk the stairs. We all understand that. Well, now we all understand the invisible fear. And not only we understand it, but the power of it. Imagine, I had to say to somebody who has anxiety all the time, and I said, isn't that funny that your body, and not funny like ha-ha, like interesting funny, your body is run by fear. It's like you're not even your own person. That this body that nobody realizes you're not running is run by fear of life. Like you're here, but you're not sure how you're here. And you wake up every day battling it, and you go to sleep battling it, and it's exhausting. Said, yeah, it's exhausting. And sometimes, depending on our personality type, we lash out at other people, or we're not very nice, or we feel like we need other people, and we hook on them, and we try to own them, and try to tell them everything that, we're thinking, as though, they can stop their life and also become a part of the anxiety, because that's what happens when we have family members or friends that have high anxiety. They try to suck us into the anxious world as well, and only because, one, we see them, two, we try to help them. Sometimes we start picking it up and start getting fearful ourselves. And sometimes it's really hard to fight when someone has that, because the conversation and everything you talk about is that same thing over and over and over and over again. It doesn't stop. It's an amazing, invisible energy. That literally, it's like, what is that called? Slime. Like I was going to say, like sticky glue. Like slime. It gets everywhere and it fills every crack. And sometimes when we're too anxious and it's hard for us to even be around ourselves, imagine someone experiencing it. But we got here because fear has become such a part of our world, our thinking, our feeling, that there's people now born with it. Just like we're born compromised in our immune system due to our food supply. Now we have kids who have different kinds of allergies and they're born with them. But we're also now born with anxiety. Kids that are younger, and I know they're medicated to keep them calm. It's not funny. It's very real that people are going through this because we lost sight of trusting our environments, trusting our future. And it's an everyday battle with what is real and what is not real. Because we can create any fear and turn it into a lifestyle. And anxiety is a fear turned into a lifestyle, a way of life. It's not a lifestyle by choice. At least we don't think it's a choice. But if we can get to the core and we can talk about a safer future where people feel like, oh, I'll be okay. But some people are inconsolable. You could tell them all day long. Because our world injects in us pressure and stress and needing things, and we don't make enough money to pay for the things we have, so that keeps us going backwards. The average person, but you know, people who don't have children and people who, you know, don't have a home or whatever it is, you have different kinds of responsibilities, but we're all in the same boat when it comes to dealing with our future, because we all have something that we own, that we do, that we work, that people we interact with, and whatever it is, that lack of surety has perpetuated and given wings to that fear. And now that fear, remember when Christ said every problem we give, we'll have more strength behind it for the energy that we give it. And when, remember when Christ said, starve the dog? If you're in a situation and you don't want it to get bigger, you have to do things away from it and stop feeding it. But when you talk to somebody who has a lot of anxiety or high anxiety, nothing you can say will overcome that fear that they feel. They will, no matter what you say, they will give you a reason why not. Because they don't know how to address it. It's too scary. It's like the big monster always in front of their face. People have panic disorder where you keep believing that you're about to die, go crazy, or lose control of yourself. People who have social phobia, they believe that they're about to look so unreasonably nervous in front of people that they will be completely humiliated and be cast aside by their community. Specific phobia, these are the different ones, panic, social, specific. People feel they're going to be overcome by some external object, like an elevator, an animal, or just by your fear of it. People who have OCD, they keep believing that they're set in motion, a terrible calamity where they might fear that your neighborhood will burn down because you left the stove on, or that your family will get poisoned because you mishandled the insecticide. Like, you start thinking of stuff like that. Or I left the iron on, you drive all the way back home. Or did I put this where it belonged, drive all the way back home, or go back home and check, and then you leave, and then you try to check again. And then we just have the generalized anxiety disorder, where you keep believing, you know, that you're about to be driven mad by constant worrying. You can't stop worrying. In each instance, in each time you feel that fear, when it passes without the expected catastrophe, and you're not better or worse for it, except that you're more worried about the next episode. Did you ever talk to someone where you'd say, look, but it didn't happen? Yes, but it could. And it could happen again, and it could be even worse. How do you not understand that? And you say, but it hasn't happened yet. There was someone I knew who was scared of ghosts. Ghosts are easier to tackle because no one's ever actually seen one, generally. So I would say and said that, well, a ghost, do you know someone who's ever seen one? No. Do you know someone who knows someone who's ever seen one? No. Do you know someone who knows someone who knows someone who's ever seen one? No. Well, why are you afraid of them? Because I know they're there. I can't see them, but I know they're there. I say, how do you know? But it is the details of the anxiety trick. It's fear on steroids. The anxiety trick is when we experience that discomfort and we get fooled into believing and we treat it like it's dangerous. And what do we do when it's dangerous? We fight, we flight, and we freeze. We try to fight it, we try to get away from it, and it freezes us. It just makes us stand in place. And at first it looks weaker than you, and you'll fight it. When it looks stronger than you, you'll try to run away from it. And if it looks stronger and faster than you, you will freeze before it in hope it doesn't seem so bad. That's all we have for that danger. When we experience the fear of like a panic attack or phobic encounter or something like an obsessive thought that just won't go away, we keep thinking it and we keep thinking it and we got to do something about it and we got to warn the world and the world's going to end and you don't know it and you know they're trying to save you and protect you too because they're so scared. They treat it as a danger. They try to protect themselves with just some variation of fight, flight, or freeze. When our natural instincts to protect ourselves, that tends to lead us into falling into the anxiety world. Because the world is not safe. We get tricked into holding our breath or fleeing, you know, a store or a highway or a theater or wherever we're at. We got to get away. And rather than shifting to being able to take care of ourselves and staying in that place until the feeling passes, we get in that fight, flight, or freeze mode. I asked Christ about this a longer time ago than now because my son has OCD. And when he would tell me what he was scared of, I'd be like, wow, that's what it says in your head? It'd be things like, do people notice you? Or just things. And he was younger. And I thought, wow, why do you even care about that? Well, it just keeps going in a tape in his head, telling him to care about it, and to care about it, and to care about it. And I knew he didn't. And I really didn't understand how it could consume so much time. It would take, like, past in your life and rewrite it and get you focused on a moment that nobody remembers but you. And you want to know why it happened. And in your mind, you keep rewriting it, and then you decide what everybody's role was in it. And then when you decide what everybody's role was in it, and it just takes you for a ride. And it's a pretty big ride. and you try to stop the what-if thoughts rather than just accepting them and taking care of the present business as thoughts come and go, you get stuck on every single thought. And you might avoid things like parties or friends or buildings or street corners or actual streets. Instead of accepting that you can trust your environment, you cannot accept any part of it. And other parts that you don't have the time to think about, you're okay with. It's kind of interesting. Because you can't be nervous about everything. But the one way, and there is a one way, especially when we're older and conscious about it, when we're not so severe that we're medicated, because there's people who are really, really, really severe. Francis asks, do some people mistake anxiety for gut feeling? Gut feelings and anxiety are two different things. Gut feelings is a surefire, I know I shouldn't be doing this, getting into this relationship, knowing this person, whatever it is. But an anxiety is constant. It's always there. Sometimes people with OCD, they're tricked into repeatedly washing their hands. What good does that do for anybody? But it controls you. It's that energy coming in and controlling you because you cannot control yourself. So there was something, and it works. It actually works, but you have to do it for it to work. I remember when my daughter had a panic attack because she couldn't find a job 2 weeks out of college. She thought she was never going to get a job. And as she's looking on the computer and setting up this interview and doing that and whatever it is she was doing, she worked herself into not being able to breathe, and I took her to the hospital. And they gave her a paper bag and told her, breathe all the way into the bag and breathe all the way out of the bag. Let yourself fill up the bag. And it was a paper bag, just one off the shelf. And then breathe it in, breathe it out, take it, breathe it, fill it up, and then pull it away, breathe out, go back and forth. And she did that, and she felt so bad that we spent the whole day, because you go to the emergency rooms, and you're there. You're there for a minimum 4 hours. And I said, but now we know something we haven't known. And she felt stupid, and she felt this, and she felt that. And then I deal with Bodic, who had the OCD with the autism and all of this, and I thought, gosh, both my kids, 2 out of 2. Have, you know, a good amount of experience with anxiety. I get quiet because I don't feel that fear, and I might feel down or depressed, but I don't get like that. But it's good because then I can see them and I can try to help them. But the bottom line is just belly breathing. If you can get to a place where you have that conscious of your mind, instead of just fight, flight, or freeze, think BB, belly breathing, because we are all connected to home by breathing all the way into, and if you've read the book Origins of Truth, into your belly. Christ called that our Garth. I know Garth is like a man's name, but I never heard the word before. I knew like Garth Brooks, but it didn't hit me when I was writing the book because I was just so into how Christ explained it. But when we get to that area, in I guess in chakras, I can't remember what the center of the belly is called, but in that part, let's just say your belly button, breathe all the way down to your belly button and come back up. And do it slowly and let your mind relax Because when we breathe to that part, the reason everybody talks about it, the reason people who meditate, which I don't, I think I just breathe that way, but if you were to sit and meditate, they tell you to take a deep breath, and it's all about breathing. And then when we call it meditation, now people are like, oh, that's meditation. But it's meditation. But when you breathe to your belly, I don't care what we call it, I don't care what the area's name is, just breathe to your belly button and come back up slowly. And keep doing it. Because what you're really doing is connecting to home, and home's energy is stronger than the energy of fear. So you will regain your footing. You will regain your objectivity. And then you will begin to work your way out. I remember when I told my son to do that, he got really mad at me. He tried to do it fast, and the OCD will fight. Not only the person or the anxiety will fight, not only the person, but it will fight the people around you. And I actually could tell the difference between my son and anxiety. I could see it because I saw that energy. And it was a very weak energy, but boy, when it gets a stronghold on someone, it's got you. But if you can be patient enough to breathe to your belly, people don't even have time to do it. That when I've said it, they're like, I can't just sit and breathe right now. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, spend the rest of your day doing that. Because that's what you're going to end up doing. And it's not even the rest of your day. It's the rest of your night and the rest of your next day and your next day and your next day. And we can medicate and we can do all these things, but the minute the medication wears off, where are you? Back at square one. And the medications for these things are highly addictive. Doesn't mean it's good or bad that are just for anxiety, not regular. There's different kinds of medications that we need. And I'm fine with that. I believe in medication if it does change your quality of life and you have a better quality of life as a result of it. But when we get periodic anxiety, or we get it to where all of a sudden we have it and we didn't before, we can work our way out of just the anxiety. If we have other things that go on in our minds and go on in our mental state, that's a whole nother story. But when we talk about anxiety, that fight, flight, or freeze feeling, that's just our everyday common anxiety, do the belly breathing. Because I know people who are on medication and still get anxiety, the breathing helps. Connect to home. And that energy is stronger than any fears we may have here. So breathing doesn't replace medication for any kinds of mental illnesses that we have on our earth. But the breathing will help you with the anxiety. Because the anxiety is a fear that we've invited in because we needed it to build the barrier between us and the world that we fear. And when you're in that state of belly breathing, remind yourself that you can handle whatever comes your way. Stay with meditation because it helps them set that pace. You guys, I have 5 seconds. I can't believe it. I love you guys. I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.